Welcome to DASCO Up for Discussion, the podcast where we explore life, learning, and advocacy within the Down syndrome community. We're your hosts, Sarah and
Kathy Trout.
In each episode, we'll sit down to chat about important topics, answer questions, and share inspiring stories from families, educators, self-advocates across Oklahoma and beyond.
So whether you're a parent, a caregiver, an educator, or just someone wanting to learn more, this is your space to feel supported, informed, and connected. So let's get the conversation started. Today's episode is all about the waiver. And don't worry, I know it can sound a little intimidating at first, but we're not here to overwhelm you at all. We just want to give you a starting point and share some helpful information that will help you become more familiar with how it all works. So, Sarah, can you tell us exactly what is the waiver? What does it mean? How does it help? Just give us a little background.
So what it was described to me is the waiver, developmental disability waivered services means that we are waiving our right to put our child in an institution, and instead, we would like those dollars self-directed to the caregiver for our child's care and well-being. So with that, it's kind of like a living plan. So you develop goals and objectives throughout a plan and meet with a case manager. And those funds are allotted to you. There's no exchange of money. But those funds are allotted to the employee of record / caregiver to direct for their loved one's plan of care. And I know, Kathy, you came off the wait list before I did. And just to go back, years ago, the wait list or the waiver was about, 15, 16 years long before individuals started receiving those services. Which was kind of frustrating for a lot of people, and we had families that didn't sign up because they was going to take too long. They didn't quite understand it. But about 4 years ago, the state legislature decided to fund the wait list and make Oklahoma become a no wait list state. And I think it was something around $15 to $17 million to fund the wait list for the 11,000 participants to come off the list. And I know it took a long time for them to kind of go through and make sure people were still living in the state of Oklahoma. They still needed those services. So it took a while to kind of get through the list of everybody to make sure, okay, here's our clean cut kit list of everybody that still needs those services. But I know your Addie came off the list before Kirsten did. Right. So do you want to just kind of share the process that you had?
Yeah. So you said that for us to become a no wait list state, currently we are not. That is the goal and that's the plan, and we're hoping that for all of our kids' sake we get there. But there is still a bit of a wait. I think it's an 18 month at least wait.
I think so.
So if you have a child that you know has a recognized disability or a child with Down syndrome, I would immediately put your child on the wait list, and the way you do that is by applying for the service. It's a pretty simple application that you go to the DDS website. It's not through DASCO, but we do help parents, if they have questions about it. There's several questions on there that ask, like, do you need more severe, services that I would have thought my child needed? And when I filled it out, I checked all of the boxes because I just didn't know.
Right.
And so that's the way I would still tell parents to do, especially babies. I would say check all the boxes because you don't know what you're going to need when you do come off the wait list. But you fill out the application and then you wait, literally. And my recommendation is every 6 months or so you call and see where you are on that wait list. Just kind of put it in your calendar and just, in your phone and say, I think I need to call and just see where I am on the wait list. Like Sarah said, my Addie didn't come off the wait list until she had been on it for 13 years. And I think I didn't put her on it until she was almost two. So I think she was almost 15 before we started getting services.
And I will encourage everybody, the idea is that the services start as soon as your child's finished with Sooner Start. Right. So you're supposed to transition from Sooner Start directly into the waiver. And what I didn't mention earlier is the waiver guarantees that our children are on Medicaid, not Sooner Care, it's Medicaid. And I know we have a lot of families that apply for TEFRA, because TEFRA is based on the child's income and not the parent's income. And
which this, we did, so yeah.
And you wouldn't have to do the TEFRA route, because you would definitely follow right into the Medicaid route from there. And the whole idea is that you transition from Sooner Start to the waivered services. So those services that are non-medicated provided would continue right then. So some of those new families out there, if you have not applied for the waiver and your child is, you know, an infant, go ahead and do that, because by the time, you know, they're turning three, you're going to be ready to come off that wait list and ready to go to start receiving those services, which is really important.
Well, and that's a good point. The services will not start until they're at least three. So that makes a difference. We went ahead, you know, we're encouraging families to go ahead and apply when they're young, you know, or infants. But they, even if they come off the wait list, they won't start receiving services until they're three, which has also been a huge change in the system.
Right.
Because when our kids were coming off, they didn't have very many of those young ones. And so they didn't know what services or how this waiver could be beneficial to that age group. And we feel like we're working behind the scenes a lot to help them learn what things would be beneficial to our families.
Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about, you know, when you came off the list and how you kind of went through the process.
Okay.
Like what were the steps? So first we apply, we waited those 15 years, and then you get an email or a phone call that says, hey, you're off the list.
Well, I can tell you mine was a little different, because I knew they were getting ready to fund the waiver. And so I became the squeaky wheel.
Oh.
And I started calling on a weekly basis. I wouldn't recommend that probably, because, but I just knew that the funds were coming and everybody was going to start coming off. And so I thought it was important that I got on that end. One, because I worked here and I could help other people.
Right.
But two, because I wanted to make sure Addie got the services that she's been waiting for so long. So anyway, I think I had called one day and they said, oh, well, you're due to come off in 2 weeks, but we'll go ahead and get your intake done.
Oh, nice.
So I started with the intake then. It is a little bit different now, because there's different entities, like Liberty now is a contracted agency that calls and does that initial assessment, which we didn't have when Addie was going through it, but that's what happened. They do an initial intake. So don't be confused by that's your intake and now you've created your plan, because that's not the same. Unfortunately, you're going to have to give your whole story to Liberty, and then you're going to have to give your whole story again to your DDS worker when they call. But in my eyes, I try to look at the positive, and I try to think, okay, I've had that first round of telling a bunch of information, so I'm writing down any notes that I forgot or anything that I wished I would have said, and then the next time around, or stuff that I didn't need to maybe bring up.
Yeah, I think I remember, like, you have to kind of give a medical profile,
yep.
and you have to, make sure your child does have a documented disability. I think I had to provide some paperwork there. I know I think we did a one pager about Kirsten, what she likes, what she needs some more extra supports in.
Mm-hmm.
And that all kind of flows back, you know, to the plan. And I think you went through this before I did, the psychological evaluation that our kids have to do, which, I mean, I'll just say it's kind of comical, but at the same time, I understand, because I think they have to meet a certain
IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is it below 69?
Something like that. 69 or below, I believe.
Yes. And we have had some families with adults who scored above that, mm-hmm. and they had to go back and redo the test and take it over, and they had to tell them to score lower. I mean, not always applicable to what you have to do, but hey, we do. We have some smart kids, and great.
And I don't think we can go back and tell them to score lower, because a psych eval is a psych eval. But I think sometimes we need to let them say, hey, look, I know she scored really high in social because Addie would have scored really high in social, but some of these other processing things she may
score
lower. And it may balance it off there. So we were supposed to start receiving services August the 8th. That was when her IP plan was done and should have started. Addie didn't get a service, I believe, until November.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that was because I just didn't know. I didn't know what I should have asked for. I didn't understand the process. I didn't know. So when I work with families now, I make sure and tell them, have a list of things that will help your child function in the community. Mm-hmm. What are some things that they could participate in, that they could gain information in? What are the things that are important that that will help them live a healthy, happy life? You know, I always say I want Addie to be as independent and as productive as she possibly can be.
Right.
Will she always have some limits? Probably. Yes, not probably. Yes, she will always need some supports.
Right.
But I want to, I made a list. I mean, I tell our parents now, make a list of everything that you feel like would be helpful to your child. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we did for Addie, she is very social and she loved, she was learning how, or she was on a swim team. That was something that needed to continue, it's very, helps her in her social, it helps her in her physical, it helps her in her processing. There's so many things that the swim team did for her, and that needed to continue. So that is a service that if you can show how this is beneficial and keeps your child independent and growing towards independency, those are things that the waivered services will cover. If you can find a vendor that would be willing to take the payment for that.
Right, and swimming is a nice skill to have for safety reasons.
Absolutely.
Like if you are people that like to go to the lake a lot or just, activities and swimming. And I know safety is a big thing to add to your plan. And if you can justify safety and security measures of why this service is appropriate for your child, those are good keywords to add to your plan.
Yes.
As well as health and wellness initiatives. We've added those for Kirsten for sure. But those are because we want our kids to always be safe and secure in the community and learn those things. And what better way than, we want them to be safe on the water. That's imperative.
Yes, definitely. Swim is one. Cheer is another thing that she does for her physical health, for her social skills. Those are more type of goals that we set for cheer. We also have what's called as an HTS,
Habitational
Training Specialist. And that is a person that comes in and helps her learn a bunch of skills, that helps them learn how to manage themselves appropriately in the community.
And provides respite for you.
Yes. Yeah. That's not what it's for, but that's what it does. I mean, it does. It's great to look at it that way because that's what you need. You want it.
Because actually I should mention, once you're on the waiver, you're no longer eligible for the respite vouchers.
Okay.
So you cannot apply for the respite vouchers if you are receiving the waivered services.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a great way to, and also just foster relationship building and, just another great way for our individuals to be out in the community more. And I know as my daughter's getting older, she didn't want to hang out with mom all the time.
Right. Well, and that's another thing. So Addie, my daughter's getting ready to go to college, and she desperately needs new clothes for college. Mm-hmm. And she needs to, but she has no room in her closet to be able to put anything in there. So her she would not clean out her closet with me. Her HTS came in, and within a day, half of the closet, less than two hours, half of her closet was cleaned out, and I have a huge box to be able to donate now.
That's awesome.
But she wouldn't go through it with me. So it was more of her HTS coming in and saying, hey, I think this is too young, or this is too tight, and me telling her that was not going anywhere. But this specific HTS is a peer. Addie does have a few HTSs. She has one that takes her to the gym that's a little bit older, one that's a college age student that is going to be very beneficial for her when she does go to college, and then another peer of hers that is with her and doing her swim stuff, and those three different areas or levels that she's on, I'm very thankful that I was able to find those HTSs, because that's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. Is we found that it's hard to find people that that can work with our kids or that are willing to work with our kids.
So Kathy, I'm just going to ask you, just to clarify for the listeners out there. So you're on self-directed services.
Correct.
Which means that you're self-directing what programs and activities are appropriate for Addie for her plan. Right. There are other options. You can use an agency. You don't have to use self-directed and still have the same services. But Kathy is the employee of record.
Right.
And so you manage how those funds are to be spent.
Yes.
And then you hire your HTSs.
Correct.
And also figure out what the pay scale is.
Because yes.
there is a yeah. pay scale mm-hmm. that you can decide.
Set for your HTSs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then budgeting all those funds.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little yeah. bit about that?
Well, I'm not. It is overwhelming. It is a yeah. lot. And it is like a little part-time job. So please go into it knowing that, but it is so worth it. It has been for us. So go into it with the mindset of things are going to change. Your workers are going to change often. You might not get approval on something you need the first time around, but don't give up. I try to stay as positive as I can. There are days when I would like to rip my hair out.
I'm sure. But that's with anything.
Yeah, but I think that is with anything.
Sure.
I think that's, you know, just going to work at your jobs or whatever. There's days when you are at your limit. And that's when you know you need to step back and take care of yourself.
Right.
So then you can go in and advocate the best for your child. But, yeah, so you also, with that being said, you can do partial. You can do part of your service. Part
right.
of your monies can be directed towards an agency, and the other part can be self-directed.
So, like all of your services, like cheer and swimming, could be on the self-directed, and then your HTSs could be used
through the agency. Yes,
if you didn't want to have to manage
right.
employees, for
yes,
instance.
Yes,
yeah,
and then you know, because you do have to manage them. I mean, you have to watch their CPR and first aid certificates, because if that expires, they cannot clock in. So you have to, you know, create a checklist for yourself to know when your HTSs are coming up. You can now through Acumen, which is the third party funding fiscal agent. They do have a track list for that, but you have to go in and check it. I'm not getting notifications that, hey, Addie's about to, or one of your HTSs is about to expire on her CPR first aid.
Yeah, so. let's talk about the, you know, because that's a question we get a lot here, is the HTS process and how to hire somebody that you want to be an HTS, and kind of walk through, and I can share my experiences too, you know. You first identify who you want to hire, and then there's an application process that they have to do. I will say, when Kathy and I did it, it wasn't online. It wasn't
right.
through DocuSign, and now it is. But can you walk us through a little bit of that process of hiring and on getting the HTS onboarded?
Yes. So initially, when you decide to become a self-directed employee or an employee of record, you have to go through some training first. Once that's done, then you can decide who you're going to hire. We've had people call up here and ask us, and we refer people sometimes. We tell them post on Facebook. Sometimes you'll post on your own Facebook, because sometimes you may, like, somebody that you don't even think of. I know Robin, who also works here, she just got a new HTS by posting it saying, hey, I need, or she saw a post on Facebook and reached out to
nice.
Somebody that she knew, and the girl was like, absolutely, yes, I'd love to go work with Josie, you know.
Well, and I think some of our families have hired teacher aides to be their
yep.
HTS,
yes.
even special ed teachers
yes.
to work off hours,
yep.
Coaches.
Yep.
And therapists sometimes have
yes.
been hired on,
so,
meet assistants. You can, now that, we signed on during COVID, so the rules were a little different. And our children are both over 18. So if you're an adult on the waiver, your HTS can actually live in the household and can be a parent.
Well, they can now, too, for younger ones.
They can,
ones.
Yeah, yes. Fill out the form.
But you have to go through an assessment to make sure the child qualifies. Right. But at the time when we came off,
it was not that way.
But now it is, which we feel like we're advocating behind the scenes a lot to try to get some of these things changed for the better. And it is, so things are really improving.
They are.
I do think that DDS, as much as people give them a bad rap sometimes, they're trying.
They are.
They are trying
to.
Yeah, they are listening. And they are, their hands are tied at some point too, because it's a Medicaid billable service. And they have to make sure that the funds they're using are being used appropriately. And if not, we could all risk payback, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to do their due diligence. I will say they don't move near as fast as we like to.
No, they don't. But I would say, to get an HTS onboarded, you identify the person.
Sorry.
You've gone through the training. You identify the person, and then basically they fill out an application and go through a background check.
They have to do a background check. All that stuff has to be put on your plan of care.
Yes.
How many hours you need you want the HTS to work? Their background check, their CPR first aid, the waiver services will pay for all of that,
things.
But it all has to be on your plan of care.
Yes.
So,
and the background check is about $16,
yeah.
And then the CPR certification they do. You just have to find a vendor that will pay for those services for them to do that. And I think the CPRs are good for 2 years.
It depends. Some of them are just good for a year. Some of them are good for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years a year.
My recommendation is you find one that's good for 2 years.
Yes, yes. And then all of that is sent in with their application. Of course, they have to fill out an I-9 and a loyalty oath and provide all the documentation that correlates to that.
Driver's license, Social Security, all that. You're managing an employee,
yes,
basically.
You're hiring somebody,
their W-2s. All that stuff has to be filled in and sent to Acumen.
Yes. And then once that's all done, what happens next?
Depending on who you hire, my HTS is all already knew my child.
Right.
So that learning curve was a little bit different. But, I mean, there are people that come in and they don't know who they aren't as familiar with the person who's receiving the services. So they have to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to learn what goals they're working towards.
Yeah, they have to follow the plan.
They have to follow a plan,
and we
too.
We have to ensure that they're following the plan. So,
and through the app, there's a note part on there. So when they clock in, they can also, when they clock out, they can write what they worked on during that time.
Outcomes.
And that has to be on there mm-hmm. because quarterly we have to do a report to DDS. And so they know where Addie is with these goals. Is this a goal that we can remove from her plan? Mm-hmm. Or is this a goal that, although she's doing a great job at, she's constantly needing to work at? So those are things that are constantly moving parts of the plan.
So let's just briefly kind of dive into the responsibilities of an employee of record. Because we do, that can be a lot sometimes. And it's, getting the HTS identified. Well, first, we have to get them all started up on the waiver. So getting our child basically onboarded in that process, onboarding an HTS, and then just managing all of the services and making sure the reports are turned in quarterly and meeting with your case manager quarterly to make sure that, there's nothing that needs to be changed and if there's any addendums that need to be made to the plan. So it's kind of a constant check-in, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, sometimes you'll have more contact than others, but if your plan's moving smoothly, you might not talk to them for a little bit, but as soon as you need anything different than what the plan is, you've got to go through your caseworker to have an addendum.
And I've had great luck just emailing my case manager and those that are helping on our plan to get answers or feedback, and I get a pretty good response. I mean, the wait time isn't very long, maybe a couple of days, because they might be having to figure something out.
Yeah. And there are times that it's worse than others.
Sure.
And if you're having an issue, and it takes more than 3 to 4 days, I would go ahead and CC them again and or email them again and CC the supervisor.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I do think most of these workers are really trying. They are really trying. And so we need to try to give them the benefit of the doubt. One thing I think we need to talk about is goods that you can also get off the waiver services.
Absolutely. Because you've done that. Yeah. I'm kind of in the process of it right now. So talk about those goods and services that you've...
Things that your child might need to help them become more independent. And I'm throwing some of these out there, but like anything safety. One of the things that that Addie is getting for college is an Angel Sense, which is basically a tracker that will help us if she's somewhere she's not supposed to be or whatever, or if there was an emergency, she has a button to push to notify people. A lot of times in home stuff, they have like an Echo. Mm-hmm. So if your child is independent enough to where they can start staying at home some by themselves, but they need a check in, and not just a check in, but you need to get a visual on them. Those Echo shows, so things that will help them live more independently. Maybe a smart microwave, mm-hmm. Maybe a smart air fryer, mm-hmm. That will help them learn how to cook on their own, but maybe we can't be there all the time, but it's got to be able to shut itself off kind of thing. So those are things that we've accessed, some of them. More specifically, she's getting ready to go to college, and she has celiac.
Yeah.
And so she can't do a lot of things can't be cross-contaminated. Right. And so in order to protect that, she's going to have her own fridge. She's going to have her own microwave. So those kind of things that the waiver services pays for as well. I'm trying to think, she needs a new computer for, mm-hmm. For college, and they will pay that because that's helping her learn how to become what she hopes to be someday is a teacher's assistant.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about devices that she needs, I know one of the things that you and I've talked about for Kirsten is, she gets home and she gets off the bus, and in order for her to get in the house, sometimes a key is hard for her to manipulate right now. Is that a goal that they're working on? Yeah. They want her to get there, but she's not there yet. So she needs to be able to get in the garage that way. And a automatic garage door opener that she can punch a code in, or she can do from her phone. Those are things. And those are things that if you can justify why it helps him or her be more independent, mm-hmm. they will fund. They can.
Well, and I'm also looking at like a pill dispenser
That's a great one.
Because she does take medication. I administer it to her in the mornings, but I want her to learn how to take it.
Yeah.
And there are certain, she has to take one pill first thing, and the other she takes 30 minutes later, and then she takes ones in the evening. So ours has to be based on a time frame. And actually, it kind of helps me out, too, to know what that pill dispenser is beeping at us. Okay, she's got to take her medicine. But it keeps her on schedule, and it develops a routine for her, which just helps with everything.
Which our kids flourish with routines.
Yeah, but so, I want to go back to something you said about the HTSs and helping, you know, Addie in, like, you know, sorting things. So I know Kirsten, she hasn't been officially diagnosed, but she does have some OCD tendencies. So she tends to want to hoard things or box things up and keep them. And I think that's where the HTS in my situation is very helpful because, you know, when I'm asking her to declutter, it's almost like an attack, like mom's asking me. But when an HTS asks her to declutter, it's a different response. It's like, I'll do that because I want to be pleasing to that individual. But it's the fact that she does have these OCD tendencies, they're helping her cope with them. And, I mean, the HTS is a coping mechanism for our individuals most of the time to get through scenarios. One of the things our HTS does is once a week they take her to the grocery store. She plans and cooks a meal. So that's helping her identify things, again, that are gluten-free because she has celiac. And then budget. She has a limited budget that she has to do. And just being independent on what is she cooking that day?
Right.
What does she like to do? What does she want to fix for us? I mean, it's a great skill cook. Everybody's got to eat, right? Yes, so, so I think I was just going to add to, you know, how helpful those things are. And I know you, there might be some families out there that have younger kids. Mm-hmm. I would start cooking and doing those kitchen skills early on. Yeah. Even if it's just stirring something.
Yep, or sorting things, putting things back where they belong.
Yes, that I mean, kind of Kirsten's stuff. Been unloading the dishwasher independently since she was almost 10.
Yeah.
And that's really helped her with organizational skills, putting things back where they belong and knowing where things go.
Right.
And that, you know, the milk doesn't go in the pantry, it goes in the refrigerator. Yes. So those are really important, you know, for independent living as our, you know, kids develop and learn and move on and maybe out of the house someday.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. And that's what I think about this a lot. Some people will say, well, I can afford this. I don't need somebody. I don't need the state to help me. And that is not what it's about at all. I have always thought is this is to help Addie either live by herself or live to her best ability when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because that will happen.
Yes.
One of the two is going to happen at some point. And she's got to be able to function on her own. And, you know, she does have a younger brother who I'm sure, I think, might someday let her live with him, but maybe not.
Right.
And if he chooses not to, I want her, whoever helps her and provides those supports for her, to not have to provide as many supports. And plus, she doesn't want as much help. She wants to be able to do these things. She wants to be able to make the decisions and live on her own. And so that's what this Wavered Services has been for us.
Right.
This is empowering Addie to make the decisions on her own safely and effectively.
Yeah.
That's what this Wavered Services is all about.
The same for Kirsten. And I'll just briefly say, you know, we use our self-directed services for therapeutic horseback riding, which she's been doing since she was six. And there's a lot of great skills that go into horseback riding, and I could talk all day about that.
Yeah.
And then she does use it for cheer, because she's still on a cheer abilities team. And then she takes a dance class. So those are all in lieu of a physical therapy. So what the self-directed services is I'm going to do this activity and not charge Medicaid for physical therapy or occupational therapy or something else. It's all self-directed for a non-Medicaid service. And that's really the whole point of the waiver. And just, you know, the people that say, oh, I don't need it right now. You know, I don't feel like we can do all, we can take care of it. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is that your child's going to need these some days, but the Oklahoma Constitution says you are entitled to this.
Yes.
So take the service. You guys out there, take the service. It's worth it.
Whether you
don't think you need it financially or not right now, your child needs it. And this is a great way for them to develop and continue to develop their skills.
Right. Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
So is there anything else you want to share?
I'm sure there's a lot
we
that
might
we're
come
forgetting
back to this later
that, yeah,
on.
That we're not thinking of specifically. But I don't, I mean, I just think it's all about, you know, all of our kids are at different levels. All of our kids need different things. And so, but realistically, the majority of our children will need support, and probably I'm going to go out on a limb and say 99% of our children are going to need some kind of support at some point in their life for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's the story that I tell myself about that is I need help sometimes.
Right.
There are days that I need help, you know, and it's okay to ask for help. And I hope that the help is there when I need it. And we want to be that help for you guys. So please reach out to us. If you have questions, we will help as best we can. There will be days. I had a mom call one day and she was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I hate this. I'm not doing it. And it, you know, I felt like my job was to sit there with her and be like, no, throw your fit, have a, you know, pity party, because I get it.
Yeah.
But you've got to stop and think, this is not going to be the end for me. I'm going to reevaluate, and I am going to get myself together, and I'm going to have my pity parties or my frustrations or my anger or whatever when I need to, but I'm going to get myself back together, and I'm going to do what's best for my kid. Same for my typical kid too. I mean, I have days when I want to rip his head off and he wants to rip my head off. But I got to get a grip on that, and I need to get reevaluate and be like, you know, what's more important here? Is it me being right, or is it my kid getting the services that they need?
Right.
And that's what I hope all of our...
by the state constitution.
And that too.
So we'll just say that. They're entitled to them. These are services that are directed toward them for their care.
Yes.
And whether it's you directing them today or whether it's, you know, Luke in the future, it does not matter.
Yes.
You know, Addie isn't entitled to those services to support her in her independent living. And I think, you know, with all of that, you know, being said, if you have questions or comments about today's episode, or you're just getting started, or you want to apply for the waiver, please reach out to us. Kathy and I are constantly advocating and meeting with DDS to get some of these things ironed out. I know a couple of things that we've been talking about with them is having the waiver pay for college, and the other is getting it to pay for services like Kumon, Mathnasium, things like that. So we are actively working on advocating for you and to make the waiver work best for you to fit your child or your adult's needs. And that's really what we're here to do at the Down Syndrome Association. We want to make sure that, you know, everybody's getting the full resources that they need and the full supports, to be honest.
Right. Yep.
And all of this is, it's about our kids. Number one, they're at the top. We're always going to advocate and do what's best for our children and make sure that they feel supported and that they get the things that they need.
Yep, I totally agree.
So
I feel like we jumped a lot today, but I feel like that's kind of how it works with the waiver. There's some days that go really smooth and other days that are really crazy. And I think that we all just need to go with the flow. And when you need more support, you can call us. Or when you don't need our support, call your friend or do it on your own. You do what you need to do for you. So,
and we have paper applications here. So mainly, you know, apply no matter what age you are, depending on where you're in, get on the list, and then, you know, then we can help you decide on your IP plan and move forward on your goals and outcomes for your individual. You know, it's just a creative process. It's kind of like a living IEP, kind of like to look
at it.
And then figure out if you're going to need those HTS supports and get those onboarded. And then after that, it's pretty much smooth sailing just to monitor and get
I don't know that
going.
It's smooth sailing, but
well, the
hard work's hard.
Yeah, so. And then once you kind of get in the groove of it and have a better understanding, it does get a little bit easier.
Yes, it does, definitely.
As always, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to us, especially if there's a concern. But I just want to, you know, thank everybody for joining us on this episode for DASCO Up for Discussion. We hope you feel a little more connected and informed today.
So if you enjoyed the conversation, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, share this podcast with someone who you think would benefit. And if you have a question or a topic that you'd like us to cover, please send them in, because we want to make sure we're talking about things through our eyes and through our experiences that will help everybody out there. So send us an email at info@dsaco.org.
And until next time, you know, keep advocating, keep celebrating, and keep the discussion going. So thank you for joining us.
Bye. Bye. Have a good day.